How's everybody today?
It's all right.
Good.
A little more scant today, but that's okay. Anybody enjoy dinner?
Yeah.
Besides me? What did you have that you liked?
A little turkey.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, that's good.
And a special applesauce.
Oh, are you an applesauce guy?
Yeah. What? Mostly a burrito guy.
Oh, burritos. Okay. What did somebody else find today at dinner that they really enjoyed?
Insurance pickles.
Oh, yeah, those pickles are good. How many of you can your own pickles? I can put my hand up for used to. How do you like my hair? I was telling Ashley when I came upstairs, she was braiding her girl's hair. It looks so nice. I told her I should have had her do mine. My mom used to do mine. When I was in school, every night my mother rolled my hair. And one day she was sick, couldn't do it. My school teacher wondered what happened. She thought I had naturally curly hair because every day I'd go to school, I'd have curls. But mom was sick and she found out. My mother called me Squirrelkopf. In German, that's a messy head. And I still have it. I see him coming out here. Try to ignore it. First, I want to tell you moms, last week your children were very well behaved. And Victor's very excited about hearing that. That's good. Dawned on me on the way home, wow, those children sat really well and interacted, and that was good.
And praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen, that's right. He's worthy of our praise, isn't he? That's a good thing. I told you I like to tell kids stories. Last week it was humorous. This week it's more of an awe kind of thing. This is about our son, Jack. When he started kindergarten, we were in the Reading, Pennsylvania. That's where my husband's very first church was. My husband was still in seminary. He had an hour drive to there. We only had one vehicle. Jack was starting kindergarten, and Cindy was 3, and Monica was 1.5 years. So Jack had to walk to kindergarten, which was about 5 or 6 blocks, because usually by then my girls were down for a nap. So I got him out the door and go to the kitchen, start doing dishes or whatever, and I hear the doorbell. I wonder who it is. I go, it's Jack. He said, Mommy, I forgot my nickel for my milk. How much is milk now in schools?
Anywhere between 75 cents to
$1. Okay. That lets you know how long ago this was. So I hurry, got him his nickel, shoot him out the door because now he's 2 or 3 minutes later than he should have been. So he's gone out and I'm back to the kitchen and I hear the doorbell. And I go and it's Jack and I say, Jack, what are you doing back here? He said, I have to use the bathroom. So we got him in the bathroom, rushed him out the door. You guessed it, the doorbell rang again. By now, I am getting steamed, right? This is the third time the doorbell rings. And so I swing the door open, ready to chew him out. I said, what now, Jack? He looked at me with those precious brown eyes, and he said, Mommy, I forgot to kiss you. Now I couldn't be angry with him. And he made it through kindergarten. Okay. Yeah, that wasn't the... Hey, while I'm talking about the doorbell, it was summer, and Jack, Cindy, and Monica were all little schnooks, and throughout the day, they'd ring the doorbell, and we lived along, like, East State Street. And I told them if they rang the doorbell one more time, they were going to get punished. back to the yard. It was going good. And after about an hour, the doorbell rang. I charged to the door like a young mother, and I'm chewing while I'm on my way to the door. While I opened the door, I said, I told you if you rang the doorbell one more time, it was a pastor friend of my husband. I was mortified. Of course, he thought it was a riot that I would chew him out like a kid. Those are my doorbell stories.
You might have
Oh, does he? Okay. Well, let's talk to Jesus for a minute. Thank you, Father, that you desire for us to live more like you. I thank you for the wonderful message we heard this morning. Power of your Holy Spirit in that, and the reminders to us. Pray we remember what we hear and heed it. And now as we look into this, what you want from us, I pray our hearts will be open and we would be willing, Father, to grow to be more like you. For each one who will share, thank you for them. For those who aren't feeling well, Father, that they would allow you to minister to them, to give them peace and comfort and strength for what they are going through. And I pray for your blessing on them. Thank you for the boys and girls in our group this morning. I pray, Father, that they would see our good works and glorify you. Just be in our midst, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we get into our discussion about what God wants from me, let's just remember and name a few things from last week that we want from God. What are some things we want from God?
We want his blessing.
We want his blessing. What's another one?
Answers.
Go ahead.
Answers.
Answers, yes.
His love.
His love. That's so important, isn't it? While I was thinking back over it, I thought about, this has come to my mind often, you're in the middle of summer, the whole family's going to be home, and you decide, we're going to Letchworth Park, and what do you pray when the whole family's going to get together and go to Letchworth, go hiking and a picnic? What do you want? Safety, and what else? How about good weather?
Yeah.
Don't we want good weather? And maybe the very same day, the farmer who has a crop planted and there hasn't been rain for 10 days, what does he want? He wants rain. And we're both asking God for different kinds of weather. I often say, I'm glad I'm not God. He sends the weather and we grumble.
But I would ask for summer or spring.
That's good. And I want to make a point. I want you to think just for a few seconds about the best virtue of your mother or your favorite thing about her, boys, girls, and ladies. Think about your mother just for a few seconds. What's her best virtue? How about you, Melissa? Melinda.
I've been called worse. Her stubborn commitment to raising us girls.
Okay. She was determined, wasn't
oh
she?
Oh my goodness, I had no idea until just recently.
Okay.
My mom's
party
cooking.
Okay, her cooking. Somebody else. Awesome.
Disciplining.
I'm sorry.
Disciplining.
Disciplining.
Oh, maybe I should borrow my husband's hearing aids. Or Mr. Dan, can you spare yours today?
I'll have mine.
Okay. Someone else. What's something about your mother?
She would lay down her life for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than that he laid down his life for his friends. And often you'll hear a preacher ask the men if they're willing to lay down their life for their wives. But I think it's even more so true of mothers. We'll do almost anything to protect our children, won't we? Someone else, what's something about your mother?
My mom was always optimistic.
Very good. Optimistic. Anyone else?
My mom was always finding ways to try and make even the worst situation bearable and fun instead of, she had a way with like always come up with some new treat or whatnot that she just pulled out of nowhere.
Very good. Anyone else willing to share?
My mom, she does fun stuff like this.
Good. She does fun things and takes care of you. Autumn?
My mom, she listens to us and answers our questions.
Okay. Now, for about 20 years in my life, I taught junior high teens. And when I was going to speak at a mother-daughter banquet, I would make questionnaires for them to help me prepare what I was going to say to mothers. And I would often ask this question on the questionnaire. And today you proved it to me again. Never, ever, and I've kept a good amount of them, and I find them about every 4 years when I'm cleaning out and I can't bear to throw them away. But I find them, never, never, never has a teenager or anyone today said, she's slim, she's beautiful, she dresses really sharp. Should that tell us something? Yes, it is our virtue that we need to work on. Aren't we all concerned about how we look? Mm-hmm. I was concerned about you having to see my hair today. Mm-hmm. And we all want to be slimmer, more attractive, have nicer clothes. And again, at a funeral, I've never heard a person, when they comment about the person who's died, I really admire her because she was always slender. It's the virtue of a woman. God told us that in his word, didn't he? And yet, in our humanness, we so often overlook the virtues of life that he desires to produce in our lives. And that's something that came to my BDU brain this week and wanted to talk about. Okay, should bring into focus what is important. For you girls and boy, I have six questions I'm going to ask you today throughout this time. And when you answer, you may come up and choose a snack out of my goodie bag. I only brought snack food. I thought I'd have mercy on mommies and not bring more candy. Though my husband would like the leftovers. Okay, let's do that first question now. Miss Amy, would you be my helper and stand up here and watch when I ask the question and see who's first?
Sure.
Ready? Just stick your hand up. You don't have to stand. How many disciples did Jesus call?
Two. Lily was first.
Very good. You may come get a snack. Thank you. And we'll do them from time to time, and we'll let you always be the judge.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, we know what we want from God. Now, how many of you brought your homework papers back? Yay! Yay! You may come up and get a snack. Okay, who's going to be first? I'll take care of that later.
She's a girl after my own heart.
I'm in the process of entering on my computer. One of my children said, Dad, Mom, you should write down what you know about your grandparents. My only grandparent I knew died the week I turned 17. Both my grandmothers were gone before my parents were even married. And my other grandfather died when I was in first grade. So beginning of school and the end of school. But write down those memories and then childhood memories. And one of the things I just typed in a week or so ago was my grandfather, who was a preacher, and he, to me, I mean, I was a kid, I thought he was a fat, jolly old man. Now I look at pictures of him, he doesn't look so fat to me. But when he'd see me, he'd say, Patsy, what's your hobby? And I'd say, eating, and he would roar laughing. So Autumn, you're a girl after my own heart. That was my hobby. Melinda, what is an attribute you found that God would like from us?
Study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Okay. Study to show ourselves approved to whom? God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's good. That's something God wants from us. Who would be next? Autumn.
Thou shalt not have any other gods before me.
And where did you find that?
Exodus 20.
In Exodus 20. And is there anything you'd like to say about that? What are some gods that we put ahead of God?
Jesus.
Idols. And what are some idols? Okay. We often hear that from missionaries, don't we? And what are some idols that we put ahead of God? Television. Money. Hobbies. Other people. Sometimes ourselves. How about it? Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who'll be next? Oh, go. We'll get back to you, okay? Hold on just a minute.
I have Ephesians 4:1, operate in the location wherein you are called.
I'm writing these down. It's Ephesians 4:1. Would you say it again?
It's walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called.
Walk worthy. You know, sometimes in my devotions, I don't know if it's that way for you, but I read my scripture, I pray, I read a devotional book, and sometimes we rush through things. I used to tell my junior high kids, it's better for you to read 2 or 3 verses and know what they mean than to read 2 or 3 chapters and have no clue about what you read. And sometimes, because I don't know about your mind, but my mind wanders really quickly. You read a verse, and next thing you're making supper in your mind, and you have no idea what God just said to us. If we would take the time and stop and let him speak to us through what we read, walk worthy. That's big. That's so inclusive in so much that he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Who will be next? Yes, Tanya?
To diligently keep his precepts, and that is in Psalms 119:4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. He didn't say just keep the precepts, but to diligently
keep his precepts. What are his precepts? His word, his law, his what he wants from us, what we're talking about, and do it how?
Diligently.
Wow. Okay, who else?
Being
saved.
We'll get back to you, hon. Well, we'll get back to you, please. Pam?
Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness.
Very good. Wisdom and kindness. I won't forget, Caleb, I promise you. Wisdom and kindness. You know, wisdom is brought up so often. It's not our own wisdom, is it? Whose wisdom does God want us to avail ourselves of? His. And there's a verse, I'm not good at remembering where things are found, but he tells us that his wisdom is more precious than jewels and pearls. And we ignore it, don't we? We ignore it. We think we have a good idea. If we ever have a good idea, where does it come from, Caleb? Where do good ideas come from? Very good. I think you should come get a snack. Or would you want? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, wisdom. And what else did you point out there, Pam?
The law of kindness.
The law of kindness. Often it's easy to remember that outside the home. I'm pretty sure it was Trevor last week who said the verse, be kind one to another. Mm-hmm. We need to put that into application in our homes. We as moms, if we want our children to desire to follow Jesus, they need to see these things put into action in our homes. Needs to be true in our lives. That's very good. I saw another hand back there. Yes, Sadie.
Mine kind of goes with what Ms. Pam said. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 talks about how our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, when we get upset, it doesn't always kick in, does it? Always with grace, our words. Even when our husbands irritated us big time. Or our brothers or sisters, or the neighbor, or whoever. He wants us. What he wants is for us to emulate him, to be like Jesus. These are good. Who has another one? Do you have one for us, Miss Ruthanne?
Yes. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that involves itself, because knowledge of God and bringing captivity every thought to obedience to Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Tell me that 2 Corinthians.
10:5.
Mm-hmm. And it tells us where our other sin begins. Where does it begin? In the mind. That's also where good begins. Submitting our minds to Christ. Very good. Who will give me another one? Ashley.
When I was going through mine, I have quite a few. I just put the actual here instruction into the whole verse. When I go through it, a lot of them that I found common were gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom. But then following those were forget not. And that kind of struck me because we can gain the wisdom but then forgetting it is where I struggle. But a lot in Proverbs, like forget not my law, forget it not, and keep it with diligence was kind of expected of us.
Very good.
Remember it.
That's good. And that's a reminder for us to be in the Word continually. There's going to be that occasional day when it just didn't happen, but it should be our good habit to be in God's Word so that we're reminded of these things and do them. Okay, Miss Amy, we're going to do another question. If you already got a snack, please hold your hand down so someone else gets a chance. What did Jesus offer to the woman at the well?
Katie's got her hand up.
Kind of the Lord.
Okay, you come and get a snack. Anyone else have something else from that passage? Would you get one for Trevor too, since he's not here today? One for Katie, one for Trevor. Good girl. What else? Anybody. It doesn't have to be a child.
Living water.
Living water is what he offered that day. Okay. Good, Katie. Okay. Who else will give me? I keep looking up there at those 5 clocks, and I get, my brain goes, boing, what time is it? Okay. Who has another one? Pam.
Proverbs 11:12, it says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace.
Very good. Do you know, we don't always like that, you know, when we follow the Lord, we do that, and sometimes we'd really like to lash out at somebody, wouldn't we? But it's more of an attribute, and it's more pleasing to God. God can use that when we hold our peace. There are so many. Who will give me another one? Autumn, do you have another one?
No, I have
Psalm 28:7.
Where you can trust in him and he will give you help. You trust in him.
Very good. God never expects something of us, but that he doesn't keep his word and do something. Trust him and he will help. That's one of my one of the things that's hard for me, I pray to him and I give him my burden, and then when I walk away, I take it along. Does anybody else do that? We're so good at that. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm so human. And that's just how it is. We are human. And there's a verse, actually it's one of Nina's favorites. He remembers that we are dust. He knows. And he cares, and he wants to take us beyond that point. You have another one for us?
2 Corinthians 6:4.
And what does it tell us?
It says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses.
Okay. He wants to bring glory to himself through all those things that we go through. Autumn.
I actually have two. Almost all of Exodus 24 and 10 commandments. And this one was not in a verse, but I just thought that I could write it down. And I put, God wants me to read my Bible, to love him, and be godly.
Very good. He does, doesn't he? Do you want to hear from your children or your mom or grandma? Or do you know, I thought back to the first time we got a portable phone. I mean, we're talking way back, years before cell phones. And a couple in our church, they had tried to reach my husband. He was out mowing the lawn. And they decided they needed to provide us with a portable phone. So if I wasn't home, he was mowing the lawn, he could have it with him in case somebody tried to reach him. So this mama decided to carry, now probably only Ashley and, oh no, you can visualize where we lived. This is quite a distance down the sidewalk. And over to the mailbox. So if I went for the mail or the newspaper, I decided I needed to carry that phone along in case one of my children needed me and called, and I wouldn't be in the house. None of them ever did. But to me, it was loud. A connection that would be there. Well, can you imagine our Heavenly Father, how much He loves us? And we go times without, as Autumn pointed out, praying to Him and reading His Word. And He longs to hear from us. He's always there. He's never asleep. He's never busy. He never says, wait a minute, I want to finish what I'm doing, then you can talk to me while my mind can be clear. Never. It can be the middle of the night. It can be when you're at the grocery store. Anytime, anywhere. But it's really good to set aside a time where you're alone with Him. It's a precious, precious time. And we get more out of it than He does. But just yesterday, I found this verse, and I'm going to take a little time here and find it, because I was all through typing, so I didn't go back upstairs. I have to crawl up the steps, so I didn't want to go do that again. The later in the day it is, the harder it is for me to go up those steps. But if I hold the railing and push my hand on a step, I can get up pretty fast. Sometime you ought to stop in and see me do that. Ephesians chapter 5. How come you can never find the scripture when you're in church? And walk in love. There's another one. Someone may have pointed that out. As Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us as an offering. We're supposed to walk in love as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Walk in love sacrificially to God for a sweet smelling savor. Bless you. Just think, when we walk in love, it smells sweet to God. We don't think about those things, do we? There's another verse, I think it's in the Old Testament, where He cares about our crying and He puts our tears in a bottle. That just gives us a small glimpse of the great love that He has for us. No wonder He wants us. He wants to hear from us, have time with us, speak to us through His Word, and have us be like Jesus, emulate His life. Wow. Okay, someone else. Pam.
Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many of hers.
Excellent. Excellent. How many of you found more than five? Good. Did you find it eye-opening to you? I mean, we've read. I'm sure most of you, especially we older people, have read through the Bible. And unless you have this thought in your mind, what does God want from me? We can read it and it won't necessarily penetrate our minds and hearts. Melinda, I got your name right. You have another one for us.
Well, this one I like because of this particular church. Psalms 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And underneath there it says, shout joyfully. And some of the singing that goes on in this church.
Yes.
Oh,
it is uplifting.
Yeah, it is.
Today, I'm so glad. I thought it was kind of strange for my husband to have the men sing that chorus. Wasn't it beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, it stirs your soul. I think I told you I had to get a new Bible, and I'm underlining all these things I come to about what God wants for me in one color. And then things that are outstanding to me in another color. Words that are in a song I know in another color, but then the singing praise to Jesus. How often he tells us to sing. Mm-hmm. To sing to him. And it doesn't matter. He never says, oh, by the way, only if you have a good voice. Mm-hmm. Or only if you qualify. No. It's when we love him, we sing to him. Yeah. And it's that way for all of us. We're going to do another kid question here. Ready? How many of you still haven't answered? One, two, three. Okay. Ready? Who were the sisters of the man that Jesus raised from the dead?
Autumn.
Very good. Oh, well, she should have gotten that.
It was fresh.
Good job. Good job, Autumn. Let's do another one right away. They're getting easier here, girls. Ready? You watch which sister it is. Who walked down the water to meet Jesus?
They were listening.
Oh,
Tracy. Peter.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Well, she does that. There are a few things I want to read to you, and then we'll go back and do, until time is up, we'll go back and do any more you may have. One of my very favorites is Micah 6:8. Mm-hmm. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee? There are three things he wants us to do from this verse. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Isn't it awesome that we can walk? Wow. And then there's some others, but I, in my devotions, again, I think it's wonderful how the Lord brings things to your eyes and your mind. But I'm reading this devotional called Rain Upon the Mown Grass. I read slow. I started this like a half year ago. But this is where I was this week. And I thought it applied to what we're talking about today. Am I really filled with the fruit of righteousness? If I am crammed full of love, is there space for bitterness? If I am furnished with joy, is there room for discontent? If I am replete with peace, his peace, is there a possibility for worry? If I am kind while long-suffering, can I be found in resentment or impatience? If I am diffusing gentleness, can I lacerate someone with words? If I am supplied with goodness, meeting needs, will I have time to be hurtful? If I am fully persuaded by faith in Jesus, how can I even slightly doubt? If I am covered over in meekness, how can pride rear its ugly head? If I'm level in temperance, controlled by the spirit, is there any circumstance, character, or cataclysm that can shake me from his firm foundation? I wish I had time to read that to you again. I might contact the author and get permission to copy those if anybody wants a copy. Anyone interested in a copy of that? OK. Okay. I will make them available once I get permission and copy them. I'll have my husband announce that they're available. It's something you have to read three or four times, really, for it to penetrate your mind. Okay, let's do the last two kid things. Here comes the judge. Yeah. We only have one who hasn't answered,
that's
right?
Sorry, sorry for all of them.
Okay. Listen closely to the question. Ready? How many people went into the ark with Noah?
Six.
Count again. Who went with him? Let's count who went with him. And how many does that make? No, Kay. Okay, we're going to do the last one. And I know you've all answered, so this is open to anybody. We'll wait till Autumn has her seat in case she wants to be there. You're ready, Caleb? You're the only guy. You got to do it for the guys. Ready? What did God do to allow the Israelites to cross the water when Pharaoh was mistreating them?
Autumn was first.
Pharaoh
was
up the water.
No, wait.
Autumn Ford was up.
Fresh the water over top. Before he
gets them. Okay, what did he do before he did that?
He parted the water.
Very good. Okay. Now, boys and girls, thank you. You did really well. Good job. When this is over, I have two papers that the ladies can come pick up. And because we have so many absent today, I have plenty. Every girl, that means Katie, Autumn, Lily, Grace, Autumn, and every boy, Caleb, when we're finished, may come get one more. Does that please you? Okay. I do have two handouts for you before we finish up. And we have like 7 minutes here. How to pray for your children and grandchildren. Are any of you familiar with this? Okay, I will lay it over here on this pew. If you'd like one, pick it up. It's, I have used it, and then once in a while in my stuff, I come across it again and use it again. A few simple, if I can get it open. I tell you, don't have a stroke. My hand doesn't want to work. Pray for nature like God. Pray for their family relationships, relationship with friends, God's protection, their future. It's good stuff. I'll lay those over here. And then I have, you may have that one. And then I have a paper that's just a bunch of stuff about love. It's nothing deep or anything like that, but little clippings a number of years ago I found here and then, and they are just interesting to read. If you like love, anybody else love love? I love love. You love it? I think love is wonderful. And who loves us more than anyone else?
God.
He sure does. He sure does. So, where am I? Wrong. Thank you.
You just can't step from where you were.
Oh, I know. You just, now you get why Kester gets frustrated, don't you? Here's something else I read yesterday in a different devotional. The life Jesus has for us is not a copycat life. His life is an example to us, but it's an example only he can live through us. If we could live as Jesus lived, without Jesus, then we wouldn't need Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "For without me ye can do nothing." That's why we need him to do all of these things we talked about today, in us and through us, because we can't. We can't. But we can be beautiful for him when we let him do it in us and through us. We have about 4 or 5 minutes to do just a few more. Don't be shy. Autumn?
I got two.
Okay.
I got John 3:16. It says, if you believe in him, you can have an everlasting life.
Okay. Will you read that again? Yeah. His care is over us. How many of you are familiar with Psalm 139? I love where he says, "I have beset you behind and before, and I've laid my hand upon you." Picture that. Oftentimes, we feel alone. Anyone else ever feel alone? We feel unworthy. We feel unloved. Nobody cares. Go read Psalm 139. Wow. He besets us. He surrounds us and puts his hand on us because of his great love. Before we were formed in the womb, he knew us. Wow. That's my God. That's my Father. That's beautiful. Thank you, Amy. Another one. Autumn. Thank you, Autumn. Do you have another one to share with me?
Actually, it was from Moses, but it's a different poem. Psalm 89 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I acknowledge thy faithfulness to all generations."
Yeah.
That singing.
Yes. Doesn't it lift your spirits? Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel low and blue? And the Lord brings a song to mind, and at first you're singing it sort of like this, and then by verse 4 you're shouting it from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. He wants to lift us with a song. With our mouths, then we make known his what?
Faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. And I thought I wrote on myself. That would be like me. His faithfulness to all generations. Kayla.
Luke 20, 29. Follow me, and I will make you have charity and correct you.
Very good. Follow Jesus. And then he will do a lot through us and for us, won't he? That is very true. Pam, I think I saw your hand.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 17:9, "He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends."
Very good. What does that address? Keeping our mouths, not having to tell everything we know.
And there's also the same chapter 17:28, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is seeing a man of understanding."
Very good. Allowing God to control our mouths. Pardon? Uh-huh. Ashley, did you have another one?
Keep thy heart with all diligence, put away a forward, roadward mouth, and reserve.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. There isn't one that isn't good. Adam. Again, a lot of that addressed our mouths. Amy, do you have any more?
Ashley must have had the problems this week.
I
want the
problem.
Sorry. I'm in Exodus, learning about the temple, you know, and I'm like, you know, what is this supposed to, you know, because I'm not having to do all that.
But uh-huh.
What struck me today, I didn't write it down, was that our body is we're the temple. And just presenting my body and
yes.
Making sure I'm modest and things like that.
Yes.
Calls me to do.
Very good. Yes, sometimes we think we don't have a ministry. But people are watching. I think we talked about that last week. Before I read my last thing, did any of you get one of these papers that was cut wrong? I'm not surprised. Yeah, well, some of them were cut off at Watt and some had a gash out. Just so you know, I am not meticulous like my husband, but I bet you figured it out.
That's perfect.
Oh, thank you. Okay, there's one more thing I want to read to you. I realize a lot of spells, especially more liturgical pastors, say this at the end of their services, but again, it's something I read this week, and it's something I want for you, for me. Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. And I would remind you, boys and girls, each get another snack. Ladies, there are two papers over here if you wish to have a copy, or if there's somebody that you want one for, if there are enough, feel free to take that. Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. Now, and oh, back up. Thank you for doing your homework. The interaction was really good. I tried to jot down all the verses. I didn't get them all. And who gave them? Because that's very meaningful to me. Last week, my husband said he's praying for me over and over and over again because I hadn't spoken for 4.5 years. And I wasn't nervous. But when I went to bed that night, everything went over in my head. And I thought, oh, what did you say that for? Why didn't you say this? Why did you say that? I must have laid awake an hour thinking about it. I hope I don't change. But your interaction has been so encouraging. And I hope it has opened your heart. So as you have your time with the Lord, you let him speak to you and show you what he wants from you. Some days there will be different things he wants from you because he needs that for you that day. Okay, now I'm going to read Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, working in me, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, remember, without him we can do nothing, and then to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Mr. Dan, would you close us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Remember the things that we want you to do for us, especially the things that you want us to do. The things that bring us closer to you, close relationship, spend time with your Lord, spend time with you, to draw nigh to you, to put ourselves away from each other, so that our lives